Maria Chiara Di Cesare is a professor in population studies and global health and director of the Institute of Public Health and Wellbeing at the University of Essex. Chiara is a World Heart Federation emerging leader. She's acting as scientific advisor for the development of the World Heart Observatory launched at the World Heart Summit in May 2023. The World Heart Observatory is the first global data hub for cardiovascular conditions and risk factors. It combines data from different sources to provide the latest, most accurate information on the global burden of cardiovascular disease. The World Heart Observatory is made possible with the support of Novartis Foundation, the Global Burden of Disease, and the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. The World Heart Report provides the first in-depth analysis of cardiovascular disease risk and mortality data worldwide, and unique analysis of country-level policy implementation to mitigate CVDs. Chiara, welcome to the Conversations from the Heart podcast.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
You have a great passion for public and population health and the potential of this up-to-date, real-time and connected data that we talk about to address the global burden of CVDs, cardiovascular disease, the world's leading cause of death. Chiara, why are you so passionate about this potential?
I think that we have here a unique opportunity really to work together to find a solution to the killer number one in the world. So just to give you an idea, in 2021, 20.5 million deaths were due to cardiovascular diseases. And I know that numbers don't often say a lot, but just to give you an idea, this is amounts, if you think about number of planes crashing every day, we should have around 160 planes every day crashing in a year.
To be the equivalent of that number.
Absolutely. So I think it's important because our perception when we talk about cardiovascular disease is completely different, right? So 20.5 million deaths every year is a huge amount.
And keeping in mind as well, Chiara, this is increasing, isn't it?
So what is happening, I think, is important to clarify there. Yes, the number of deaths due to cardiovascular disease are increasing. However, the rates of cardiovascular diseases are decreasing because we have done a lot and we need to be proud what we have done over the past 20 years, 30 years, three decades, four decades in progress in terms of treatment, diagnosis, surgery, medication. So we have done a lot. But what is happening is that trends in rates are going down. But the population is aging and we are growing. We are in a world with a growing population. So numbers of deaths due to cardiovascular disease are increasing. Hence, the burden on the health system is increasing.
And this is where the World Heart Observatory, the World Heart Report, no doubt come into play with this aging population and some of these other concerns. Talk to us about the World Heart Report 2023.
So the World Heart Report 2023 was the first report from the World Heart Federation. And what we did in that report is really to pull together data, the most up-to-date and reliable data available, to provide what is the burden of cardiovascular disease in the world. And we aim this to our audience, that is an audience that is not necessarily an academic audience. So for us, it was really important to reach out to a variety of stakeholders that are involved and can really make a difference in terms of cardiovascular health and the future of cardiovascular health. So what we did is just to show differences across countries, across regions, between men and women, and just try to provide the most up-to-date figure around the burden. And at the same time, we also put together what is happening in terms of policy that in fact are in place in all the countries in the world to really tackle cardiovascular diseases. So we have tried to bring all these elements together and provide easy to access and understandable reports to really inform and support stakeholders in their response to cardiovascular crisis.
We'll talk about how listeners can access some of this data in just a moment. I'm interested to hear more about these key findings that you refer to as well. Let's just come back briefly to your audience. Who are the people that are contributing to this global hub of data collection. And who are the people that you're trying to connect with and bring together through something like the report?
So our audiences really are a community and members of the World Heart Federation. So cardiologists, every cardiac nurses, our community of health specialists that work to tackle cardiovascular health. And at the same time, other stakeholders that maybe are not in the clinical setting, but have in one place easy and accessible information. We try to take out all the complexity of the methodology of the, but just go to the core, what the data are telling us. And the data are really clear. As we said before, rates are going down, but number of deaths are increasing. The difference across regions is pretty impressive. So the fastest decline in the world in terms of cardiovascular disease mortality is happening in high-income countries. Hmm. And the pace that we observed in low-income settings is not at all similar. So we are increasing the gap in the burden between the high-income and low-income settings. What is happening is that the pace of decline for high-income countries is very fast and is the fastest in the world and not comparable to what is happening in the other regions. And the other interesting thing is that compared to 1990, we are in 2023, right? So compared to 1990, there is only the Latin American region that has reached today the level of mortality that high-income country had in 1990.
So over 30 years ago,
yes,
just
all the other, yes, all the other regions are still above the level that we observed in high-income countries in 1990. So do you understand this difference,
the gap? A long way to go to reduce this gap, to close this gap, Chiara.
Absolutely. And then this is, for me, a very important element. I'm passionate around about health inequalities and how, in fact, how we tackle health inequalities. And health inequalities geographically is also these differences, because we have the treatment, we have the tools to diagnose, we have the capacity to intervene, but we are not giving that opportunities in an equal way across the world. Mm. So for me, that is an important finding.
I want to also dive a bit deeper into some of these key findings, but since you talk about equality and inequality and that difference that spread out over this period of 30 years. Chiara, how do you as a professional, one of the key people involved in the World Heart Report, how do we reduce this inequity between these different places?
This is a very tough question, because we have the tools, we have the knowledge. It's how we distribute opportunities and resources in the world that makes that differences. So we need to be sure that access to diagnosis, access to care, is a must. It's part of our right. It's a human right to have our health. It's a human right. So we need to go back and think, what can we do to ensure that everyone has the same right to access healthcare? And I think this goes in really what it is. I mean, as I said, you start with inequities and then you really go to social justice. It's there that I think the solution is to take out the barriers that make people with different resources not able to access care.
Maria Chiara Di Cesare is our guest on the Conversations from the Heart podcast today. We're talking about the World Heart Observatory. We're also talking about the World Heart Report that was released at the World Heart Summit in May 2023. What were some of the other key findings from the World Heart Report?
So certainly something that we know well is that the level of cardiovascular mortality is consistently higher among men compared to women. But it's really interesting, because we figure out that there are, for some specific subgroups of cardiovascular diseases, some countries in the sub-Saharan Africa, especially the West, have higher levels of mortality for women compared to men.
And some of the reasons behind this?
So it's a very complex scenario there, and we don't have one answer, essentially, because also it's important to say that the report is descriptive. It's not looking into the specificity of each country. But that can be, for example, misdiagnosis, women not going to seek care in. So there may be multiple reasons that are contributing to that higher level of mortality. Another interesting result is that we look at out-of-pocket expenditure as percentage of GDP and how it's associated with cardiovascular diseases, mortality. And then there we highlighted how when the out-of-pocket expenditure as percentage of GDP is high, level of mortality are high. And we go back to what we were discussing before.
Once again, to the core of some of these issues.
Yeah.
Social justice. Addressing these inequities and inequalities as well.
Absolutely. The moment that you need to essentially ensure your likelihood of survive a cardiovascular event based on your resources, if the resources are not equally distributed, then you cannot do a lot.
Given all of that information that you've shared and this knowledge around what is required, and there are solutions that are there, how have you found the response been to this data and to this information and the awareness that comes from that, both at a national level from, let's say, health ministries and also at a global level? How have you found the response to the first World Heart Report?
There has been a lot of excitement around the report. And I think this was our first attempt to get out and position the World Heart Federation in a solid way in terms of reporting every year on the most up-to-date data and information available. So we had discussions, and the World Heart Federation is working with the stakeholder and members to make use of the report. And I think the other elements that we highlighted in the report is really to understand what is happening to the risk factors, you know, for cardiovascular diseases. Because cardiovascular diseases, the very powerful things is that there are risk factors that are modifiable, that we can change the way people experience those risk factors. So we look at, you know, traditional modifiable risk factor like physical activity, smoking, or
diet and nutrition.
Absolutely. So we look at obesity, hypertension, that is really the main risk factor associated with cardiovascular diseases, hypercholesterolemia, and just to understand what is happening in the world. So blood pressures is one of the interesting trends in terms of risk factors because, again, because we know how to treat hypertension, hypertension levels are decreasing worldwide. But there are regions in the world that this is not happening. And normally these are the low-income settings. Sub-Saharan Africa is where we still see increased levels of hypertension or raised blood pressure. And again, it's all linked to the fact that there is a delay in diagnosis and access to treatment.
I'm curious about the process. This was the first. How did you go about, on a global level, collating, putting together all of this data? Previously, it may have existed in separate or silo-based type scenarios. And here you've attempted to bring it all together into a hub. Talk to us about that process of how you've achieved that.
Yeah, that is very interesting, and I'm very passionate about data because I think that data, one thing that data do is that they don't judge. They are just numbers. They are not like words that they have a meaning with a positive or negative meaning, and data are just numbers. So I really like to describe the world with data. And you are absolutely right. What one of the main challenge is that a lot of these data are hosted in different places and often are places that are not easily accessible, and the technicalities associated are extremely complicated. And we are talking to a community that maybe they are focused also on the clinical aspect. So the time that you can spend looking where things are is limited. So for us, it's been an exercise of identifying the most reliable data sources available globally that could be brought together in one place and described in the most harmonized and consistent way. Of course, there are limitations. As always, there are limitations, and data is important also to highlight that. So for example, we use a lot of data that are estimates. And these are fantastic models, but sometimes estimates, what they hide is the fact that a country may have an estimate, so may have a number associated to number of deaths due to cardiovascular diseases or prevalence of obesity. But in fact, that country doesn't have any data because those estimates come from the model. So for us, it's also important when we bring together all this data and we say, we have a story to tell you, we have something to tell the world about cardiovascular diseases. One of our consistent key points is that we need more data. Because it's not true that data exists for every single country, every year, every age, every sex. No, we need more data. And without data, we cannot monitor what we are doing. What are we doing? Is making any difference, yes or not? We cannot support the public health decision and the clinical decision to say, this is what we need to do forward. So for us, it's very important to say, it's an amazing document full of data, but we need more data.
You're right, with huge potential as well.
Yes.
I mean, just give us an idea, and I can see the passion in your face when you're talking about this and also talking about data as well. Just give us an idea of the amount of data that you've collected, and then you say, we need more data, we want more data. How much data do you want? What are we talking about here?
I cannot say how much data we have put together, because these are, it's a lot. Think that we have data from, in this case, we were using global burden of disease, so you have data for each age, sex, country, year. So you start multiplying, right? 200 countries by age groups, by sex.
It's an incredible undertaking, isn't it? Really? And a huge achievement.
And then bringing in the risk factor elements, some from the GBD, some from the NCD Risk Factor Collaboration, that is another global initiative, and then all the data from the WHO. So we have a lot of data from WHO, especially around policy. So it's a lot of different data, and the challenge there is show those data in a way that people can use it.
You talked earlier about reducing the complexity of this data and putting it in such a way that people can look at it, learn from it, use it. How do you, in collecting that data, how do you ensure the quality of the data, the accuracy of the data entry, cleaning that data in order that you can reduce that complexity?
Yeah.
And I guess somehow attached to that is privacy, confidentiality. We have now artificial intelligence and machine learning coming into all of this.
So for the report, we are not collecting primary data and we are using publicly available data sources. So this clearly make viable and sustainable the report in terms that we are using data that's, as I said before, are estimates. So just to give you an idea, the estimates means that you have raw data, you have data that come from studies, from survey, with all the problem that you have listed, and then they get into a model and that numbers get out of that model that are estimates. So you lose completely all the problematics that are associated to primary data. But sometimes we don't know how to explore those data and what to do with those data. The data we use are on another level because they are do not suffer of those problems. For us, the decision was to say, what is the most up-to-date data source that we have in terms of estimates? Which are the global efforts? Because we wanted to represent the globe. We wanted every country, every member of the World Health Federation to feel identified within the report. So we want it to be as comprehensive as possible in terms of data. So for our report, is the problem is not in relation to what you have said, you know, privacy or quality of data, because that process has happened already. And all those checks have happened already within this consortium. So the Global Burden on Disease, the NCD Risk Factor Collaboration, WHO with their estimates. So that process has happened already. So we are using, if you want, the final number coming out from this very
the
complex
process.
The
distilled or crystallized version of
that.
But
we hope in the future to be able to collect, and this is part of the future planning, to collect data from our members.
WorldHeartObservatory.org is the website, the entree, the portal into finding out more about what we're talking about on the podcast today. My guest, Maria Chiara Di Cesare, Professor of Population Studies and Global Health and Director of the Institute of Public Health and Wellbeing at the University of Essex. Chiara, with regards to the World Heart Observatory and, of course, the report that emanates from that, How do you think policymakers, advocates, you've got people in a clinical and healthcare setting as well, how can these professionals utilize this data to make informed decisions?
I think that what is the great opportunity there is to access the information and extract the information that provides the evidence for action. So the observatory, there is a lot of information that also provides comparison within countries, where a country stands in comparison to another country. And this allows also to make cases, specific cases for action, right? To make a call. And I also think that given that we are using trends and we are showing how things are changing, it can also inform at a high level, is what we are doing enough? Is making any difference? Is changing the something? Because I think that in general, in the health world, what is something we need to really do and do well is also to understand how our intervention, our action, our policy are really making a difference in the final health outcome, in this case, cardiovascular diseases. So for me, it's a way for our community to provide some understanding of the direction and also identify the gaps or where we need more action. So it's really, if you want, that foundation in the thinking of where we go, where we are, where we go. So as I may mention before, monitoring is essential. Without monitoring, and data is the way of monitoring. Without monitoring, we cannot really know if what we are doing is making any difference.
We'll talk about the future of the World Heart Observatory and the report in just a moment and some of the goals that you may have for that. What do you think you've achieved to date with both the World Heart Observatory and the report that emanates from the observatory? What have you achieved to date?
So I think that what we have achieved is that now we are discussing much more about the data and the information that is out there. We are including in conferences, and people come and look and use that information more and more. So I think is that also familiarize outside of the pure academic technical world, but familiarize with the use of the data is such an important thing, because we live in a world that sometimes we are a bit scared of numeracy, of all the elements of numbers. Numbers are scaring, but as I said before, numbers are beautiful.
They tell stories.
They tell the story without any prejudgment. And I think that showing a community that necessarily is not a technical community, that data can really inform and that can help to build. For me, it's a bit like having the block of a Lego. If you know the Lego, it's like the
I know it very well.
So it's like having the first block, and Then on that you can start building. Yeah. So without that block, it's really hard to move forward.
It's the foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have been some of the challenges along the way, and where is there room for improvement, do you think? What are you focusing on in terms of refinement?
Yeah. So the challenges is definitely to, as I said, the world is, I mean, we have a lot of initiative with a lot of data that coming from estimates and models. So you have different groups and you have different, so maybe one has a bit more, for example, global deaths for cardiovascular disease compared to another. So it's also trying to understand what is happening behind the models, understand what we can show in a way that is easily accessible. So for us is and also bringing this data, right? Because you need some level of interaction with different groups to be sure that this data and the flow of data is working properly. So one challenge is for sure to identify the best resource in terms of data. And for me, it's also to, I'm very interested in data visualization as a way really to communicate without word what is happening. And sometimes it's complicated, you know, because yes, you can do map, you can do trends, but then when you want to try to visualize things that are more complex. So for me, there is the element of also of visualization. And of course, now we see a lot of possibility for the observatory, because at the moment, as I said, it's bringing these friends around the same table. But now we want to also find other other friends, we want also to see what comes out from, again, it's a metaphor, right? But these people that are all the data around the table. And I think that there are two areas that we are exploring more and more. One is the including multinational initiative on cardiovascular survey data collected. So we really want to see how we can incorporate these that are even harder for non-technical audience to access. Mm. So can we have a space where we can have all this multinational, amazing survey that have really, some of them have changed the way that we look at risk factor or how things work for cardiovascular health. So for me, there is one side that is this element. And the other is the World Heart Federation has a huge number of members, and their members are societies. And these societies have a huge number of members that are the clinician. You know, there are
people on the ground.
People on the ground. Yeah. What can we do together? What can we co-produce in terms of information? And for me, the co-production is a very important concept. How we co-produce, how we co-design, how we work together to collect those data. And I come from an academic background. People that are frontline,
yes,
are those that really see
clinical and healthcare settings.
Absolutely. Mm. It's what they see the real problem are. So for me, it's such important that we are together in this. And I don't say this just because it's nice to say we are together, but because I really believe that, you know, if we are disconnected, we cannot do things together. So I think that being able to gather information and data through our membership is a member of our members is absolutely a unique place.
You are going to need a much larger table.
Yeah, and fantastic.
And a lot more Lego bricks
absolutely.
As well. As we start to wrap up on the Conversations from the Heart podcast, talking about the World Heart Report, the World Heart Observatory, data and the potential of data for cardiovascular disease and indeed cardiovascular health. Where would you like to be in 5 years' time with all of this?
Oh, wow. That is amazing. So for the report, I think we have a lot of ideas. I can tell you a bit more about our next report. We are already working on it and it's extremely exciting. And in terms of the World Heart Observatory, I really would like that space to be the place to go. And maybe for everyone, also for our community and also for the technical community, the place to go because it's unique and it's bringing really in one place everything that is needed. That doesn't mean that then can be just, as I said, can be the stepping stone to then go to other places. But I would like first that to be the place to go for cardiovascular diseases. And two, I would like to see the impact of the observatory in terms how the observatory is changing the way that we are tackling cardiovascular diseases. So it's not just there because we like to do the observatory, but because it's making a difference for the population.
It's a very powerful way to finish the podcast today. To find out more, the worldheartobservatory.org, and of course, our website here at the World Heart Federation, worldheart.org. Final question, Chiara. The podcast is called Conversations from the Heart. Can you share a story that has touched your heart from your work on the World Heart Observatory and also the report to date? A story that's touched your heart.
For me, it has meant a lot. I started working on the report and the observatory while a very good friend of mine with a genetic heart condition was getting to the end of this stage of life. And I think that for me, every single step of this observatory and the report has been thinking that hopefully we are putting together information that can make the difference for people like her in the future. Yeah. The next report is what I'm really looking forward to. We already started this time. The first report was a very high level picture of what is happening in terms of cardiovascular diseases. This time, we are really focusing on one of the global emergencies, that is air pollution and climate change. So we are working with the experts in the field. We have an expert group in air pollution and climate change. And we really hope to bring together the most up-to-date information and understanding of mechanism, understanding of policy in one place for our community to really keep engaging and keep familiarizing with the impact of air pollution on cardiovascular health. I think this is going to be an absolutely exciting document in which we really hope to provide our community with the most up-to-date information.
When can we look forward to the 2024 report being released?
So it will be released during the 2024 summit in May in Geneva for the World Heart Summit.
So much potential here, and we've literally only scratched the surface over the last 30 minutes or so, but given us lots to think about, and indeed, Chiara, lots to look forward to with the release of the next World Heart Report. The World Heart Observatory is the first global data hub for cardiovascular conditions and risk factors, combining data from different sources to provide the latest, most accurate information on the global burden of cardiovascular disease. The World Heart Observatory is made possible with the support of Novartis Foundation, the Global Burden of Disease, and the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your thoughts, your insight, your expertise, and also that personal story at the end just now. Maria Chiara Di Cesare is a professor in Population Studies and Global Health and Director of the Institute of Public Health and Wellbeing at the University of Essex, also a World Heart Federation Emerging Leader and acting as Scientific Advisor for the development of the World Heart Observatory. Thanks so much for joining us on The Conversations.
Thank you so much. It was lovely. Thank you.
I'm Tony Johnston, broadcast journalist here at the World Heart Federation headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to your company again next time. Take care, everyone. Good health.